Young man hanging back, you came in the frequency.
And you're listening to Midwest Paratalk Radio on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network.
That's right, you guys. Thank me very much. Oh, wait. Yeah, right. Welcome to Midwest Paratalk Radio here on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network. We have the co-hostess with the mostesses. We got Joni and Mike on the line. What's up?
Hey, how are you?
If I was any
better. Wait, I muted my phone. I got you started on how to work it.
My phone. I can't talk.
Can you hear me now?
Huh?
Can you hear me now?
Huh?
Oh. Huh? Good thing you live in Indiana.
I tell you what, it is a good thing, because right now you can't get to me. It is freaking nuts. I was telling Kimmy J earlier, it was like the sky opened up and a big pile of white poo dropped down on everybody.
White poo.
We had, I tell you how bad it was actually here. We had a doctor's appointment that we went to this morning. It was supposed to be at 9:15, and we left in plenty of time to get there on time if it had not been snowing.
Mm-hmm.
So it took us almost 2 hours and 15 minutes to get to that appointment. And, we were there at the appointment for a half hour. Then, then it took us 2 hours to get back home.
Oh,
it was like, wow, seriously? And I know you guys are getting hit with some snow, too, aren't you?
Well, it's kind of quick, right? I don't know what you're doing in West Virginia, but right now ours is kind of tapered off for now, but we're under alert till like, Saturday morning or something.
Right, right.
Yeah.
I know we're, what they call number two on the roads or whatever.
You got a number two on the road. What?
Oh. All right, very funny. Ohio has a road rating system, and it's like, what do they call it, Mike?
Level two snow emergency.
Level two snow emergency, yeah, that's what we are.
Right on. tell us, get the hell off the streets. And the crazy thing is, between 10 miles from the interstate where we get on at by where I live to 10 miles up the road, it's Greenwood for anybody that knows where I'm talking about. There were at least 10 to 11 cars, slide offs, accidents, what have you, all in that distance, 10 miles. And it's like, okay, I don't want to, call everyone stupid or anything, but if you've got that much snow on the ground, why are you trying to drive 70 mile an hour in a 70 mile an hour zone? You know what I'm saying? And I was like, wow, that was just, this is kind
of, I never would have done anything like that.
Yeah, whatever. You'd flip on that four-wheel drive and you just pedal to the metal. It's like a friggin' convoy.
They came and got my four-wheel drive this morning and put it on the little truck, well, the big truck, and took it to Canton, I believe.
The Crusher?
And I just stood here and cried.
No way.
They're going to recycle it. So I thought, well, you know what? It's kind of like donating your organs.
Mm-hmm.
That made me feel better.
That's just like the story that your parents tell you when you're a kid, when your goldfish died, that they took it off to a goldfish farm so it could live forever.
You say they're going to recycle it?
I can't remember what we told the kids. We had betas. Just little betas. They just only have one at a time because they'll kill each other if you put them in the same bowl, ones are the pretty ones.
Yeah.
And that one, I forget what we told Emily. But she apparently still thinks it's alive. She was like seven. So,
see all of our fish and stuff like that. The kids would go, what happened to the fish? Well, it died and we flushed it. Oh. Okay. Can we get another one?
No, man. We had to bury a hermit crab.
No way.
Yes, we did. We had an Altoid tin and we had to bury the hermit crab and have a little ceremony and everything.
Nuh-uh.
Oh, my.
Mm-hmm.
Was it kind of like the ceremony in Poltergeist? He doesn't like the smell. Put a little Twizzler up in there. You don't
all
what?
That. Yeah, similar.
Don't remember that? Oh, my gosh. That is a classic.
I haven't seen that movie forever.
You know, and I hope that nobody that really matters is listening that could get me in trouble, but I downloaded it. And
I'm calling him.
I have watched. You probably will.
I'm calling him right now. I said, I do this guy in Indiana.
See how you are? you watch. I'm going to look out the window, and there'll be some.
By the way, did you watch Ghost Adventures Friday?
I did watch Ghost Adventures Friday.
You guys?
Yeah.
At Prospect Place?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
And you know what was cool about it is that we sat here, and it was funny because the kids were here with us, and it came on. I was like, oh, right on, they're a Prospect Place. And Corey's like, Prospect Place? I was like, yeah, you know, that's where Deanna and Marnie and myself, you know, and that's where we went with Joni. And, oh, yeah, cool, let's watch it, right? So I was like, yeah, we were there. Yeah, we were standing right there. You know, he's like, oh, that was cool. So
yeah, it makes you feel kind of funny. But I enjoyed it. It's entertainment.
You know, exactly. That was it. You know, he got up there talking a bunch of chit. I said chit, not chit. So anyway.
I know, but didn't you laugh when Randy was talking? The kids would say that he told you.
Oh, yeah, about...
I'm going, oh, my God, he's going to tell him the same thing, because he tells that to everybody, trying to scare people.
Yeah.
I thought that was funny. Him and George both did a good job, so...
Yeah, they did, and, you know, it was just great to see the place again. I can't wait to mm-hmm. be able to go back, you know.
Yeah, we need to go back when it's warmer, though.
Yeah, and, you know, Mrs. C has already given me the okay that we can stay the night, so...
You know, it's just not that... It's not any different than being there, as long as you guys were, really.
I tell you what, I want to sit out there on those steps where I heard that scream when we were pulling away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I still think about that. That and the ball.
Yeah, that used to be the main entrance.
Yeah. That and the ball moving upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was telling my friend Kimmy, she's out in the chat room, hey, Kimmy, about it. And she's like, man, it was because you were walking and this, that, and the other. And I was like, we were hovering over that ball for a good 10 minutes not moving.
Yeah, the people don't realize how solid that place is.
Yeah,
for an old house.
Yeah, you know, and it was funny too because I showed her the pictures of Mansfield, the one that
mm-hmm.
I caught with the one that I showed you, you know, and,
mm-hmm.
and she's like, oh wow, that is cool. So
yeah, awesome picture.
I'm bringing them to the dark side one at a time.
That's what we're for.
That's right.
Dark side.
So. But yeah, you know, what do we got going on tonight?
Oh, we have Janet and Dan Bleeler. I can never pronounce her name right. Is it Bleeler? Bleeler. She's going to kill me. Janet and Dan Bleeler, and they're out from Elko, out in Nevada.
Right.
And they have the Aborigines Paranormal.
Right.
Group.
We had her on. Well, it was like the second month that you joined the...
Yeah, it's been almost a year.
Yeah. You know, we're coming up, Joni, on a year for Midwest Prayer Talk Radio, too.
I can't believe it.
I know. It's crazy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, you know, she was a great guest. She's a good lady and it was fun to talk to. So I think you guys are going to enjoy this quite a bit. Just a reminder, too, the 18th is when I go in to have the choppers yanked. So, I'll be doing the show from this end, and Joni and Mike will be doing the show from that end, and...
Yeah, I put a great big gold star on that day, because you won't be talking.
Hey, you know what? You're awful froggy tonight.
You're messing with all my entire life. Come on now.
You know, you have my
deepest
sympathy, because if I had to deal with
it... I could tell you stories.
Oh, yeah, we'll have to have one night where it's nothing but tell
mm-hmm.
tales on Joni night.
Mm-hmm. Oh. I could tell a few myself, so go ahead.
huh, let's rethink that, right?
No, I'm sure mine are worse, trust me.
Hey, have we haven't talked about haunted history in a while.
No, we haven't, have we?
No, we haven't. I think maybe next week we should do Wolf Manor.
Why?
I don't know. It just kind of popped into my head.
Yeah, I'm just kidding you. Yeah, I'll be all right.
Yeah.
I'm having trouble thinking of some of the people to be familiar with.
Yeah.
Some of the ones I thought people would be familiar with are going, where the hell is that?
Yeah.
So, you know, any suggestions would be greatly appreciated. But yeah, okay.
Yeah, definitely. Put your email address out, Joni, and have, you know, and we'll put it like this. If anyone has a story that they would like to hear about, or a haunted place, or something like that for a haunted history, hit Joni up at her email address that she's going to give in just a second, or you can send it to me at staff@MidwestParaTalk. Yeah, do it now. No, staff@MidwestParaTalkRadio.
Just send it out, Greg. God. Don't try to be nice.
Okay. Well, I was just trying to, you know, you got to give them a couple seconds to you know, come up with a good one, because, you know, we've got a lot of good people out there that's got a lot of places they might want to hear about. So it's Astro.
Do one on the Blackfoot Indians, Danny.
What?
Do one on the Blackfoot Indians.
I would love some Native American
stories. Do one on the Blackfoot
Indians.
Why the Blackfoot ones?
Because the Whitefoot ones aren't as
I'm
fun.
I'm just full of questions tonight, aren't I?
You're full of something tonight.
Very, very, very.
Hey, I've been home with two children in this house for like 3 weeks, okay?
Oh, yeah.
And today, they decide they're going to have a karate fight.
Nice.
Which they know pretty much nothing about karate.
Nice.
Except what their father thinks he taught them. And he took his wife to Kevin with her foot. And she hit him. The air from her foot, like, must have flushed against his leg, which you know. He falls on the floor, and he says he's going to die, and he needs to go to the emergency room. And she never even touched him.
What's been going on here
for the last, since Christmas. They're like driving each other crazy, and they're driving me crazy.
Right, right.
And we can't get out of here, so.
Did it sound something like this?
Yeah, that's about it.
Right.
Okay, Mike, yes, I'll write that down. Blackfoot Indians.
If you want. No pressure.
Yeah, it's fine.
No pressure. Do it. Do
no
it
pressure.
Now.
Just do it. Peer pressure.
Just do it. Just do it and do it.
Isn't that sibling pressure?
No.
Right. So,
I guess.
This is Janet's. Hey, Janet's daughter is out there, and she wants to hear about the Mothman.
I did that one.
Yes, you did. But I'll tell you what. Well, I'll pull up an archive of the haunted history and one night, and we'll play that. So that would be cool. That was a cool story too. The Mothman story is just kind of freaky deaky. You know what I'm saying? It's just real interesting to hear. So
yeah, we need to go through and see what we even have. I don't even remember what we have anymore.
I'll make a list and I'll send it out to you. Because I'm cool like that.
It's on my computer. I just never look at it.
Yeah, what?
My files, I'm sure.
Didn't you live by the Silver Bridge, Jenny, for a while?
No. Oh, were you around then?
Like, were you around then?
I'm trying to think.
No, it happened.
There's like 11 years between us. Yeah, yes, you were. Now, this is how I remember that you were here, because my dad and my uncle rented places down in Galpalis across from Point Pleasant, because they were putting a road through down there when they worked on construction or whatever. Mm-hmm. But anyway, the house my uncle rented, because they had four kids, and they had, you know, extra kids too. And it was right beside the Silver Bridge, and that was summer after it collapsed. So we saw, I mean, we were right beside it. Of course, we didn't know the story. We just saw this big bridge laying in the river.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And the reason I remember Mike was along, because Dad had a car with a push-button transmission, and every night when he came home from work, he had to go out and work on it, because Mike would get in the car and push the buttons and lock up the transmission.
Right on.
But he was about, what, 2 years old, something like that.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, probably.
Mm-hmm.
It could have happened in 67.
You were there. I remember that. I really remember that.
Isn't that like a rock song or something back in 67 or something? I don't know.
Summer of 69.
Ah, yeah, that's right. So, all right, well, check it out, you guys. We're coming down. We're about 15 minutes of us probably putting everyone out there asleep. But
wake up, you guys.
Right, we've got Janet from Nevada Apparition that's going to be coming on with us here in just a second. We're going to cut off to a commercial break, and we'll be right back. You guys are listening to Midwest Paratalk Radio here on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network. Hey, we'll be right back.
A new way to bring the paranormal community together.
Sharing everyone's ideas and sharing ideas with everyone.
Creating a newsletter with submissions.
From all around the world.
Members of all paranormal fields.
Just like you and me.
Whether you're into ghosts and hauntings,
or an observer of UFO phenomenon,
The White Crow is for you.
The first paranormal newsletter.
For everyone.
Written by everyone.
If you have something to share,
or just want to see what's going on,
come join us in this combined effort.
The White Crow.
The paranormal newsletter.
For everyone.
Written by everyone.
Visit us on MySpace at www.myspace.com/thewhitecrowforeveryone.
If you're interested in being part of the mailing list, or just to download the newsletter for free, visit us online at www.thewhitecrow.org.
The White Crow, the first paranormal newsletter for everyone, created by everyone.
You're listening to Midwest Parrot Talk Radio on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network. Simulcasting live to the Freetime Radio Network at www.freetimeradio.com.
Hey, psst, kid, come here. You're looking for a paranormal fix, aren't you? Well, look, check it out. What you need to do, go on over to www.asprn.com. Tell them Mikey sent you. Wink twice, knock twice. When you click on it, hit the chat live. Go into the chat room. Yeah. You'll find your fix there.
You'll find your fix there, dang it. That's right. Real quick, shout out. I know you guys that have been hanging out with us know that Mike Baker is in the hospital right now. Shout out to him. Thoughts and prayers, all that good jazz. And Mike, get better so I can harass you when you get out. So, yeah, let's get Janet on the line with us. What do you say?
Cool. Okie dokie. Yeah, and I think her husband Dan's going to be with her tonight, too.
Oh, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Hello.
Hello, Dan?
Hello. Yes, this is Dan.
Hi, this is Joni, and we have Greg and Mike here, and this is Midwest Parrot Talk Radio.
Okay, we've been waiting for your call.
Great, great.
Great.
Okay.
Cool. Well, we want to welcome you to the show tonight, and for our listeners out there in the chat room that are hanging out with us tonight and for our archive listeners, why don't you guys tell us a little bit about yourselves, and we'll go from there.
Okay. Why don't you start, Janet?
And I'll let you.
Okay. I don't know what you want to know about us.
Well, just tell us about your group, if you want, and some of the things you've done. And just,
okay, well, it's Janet's group.
Mm-hmm.
Janet?
Oh, yeah, I'm here. I just want to let everybody know I have a little bit of a cold, so you'll have to excuse my voice.
That's okay, Janet.
What I'm trying to do with the group is I basically just want to help other families, because when we were going through our ordeal, we didn't have any help. And I don't want to see other people go through what we went through and not have any resources to go to, because things were a lot different back in the late 80s, early 90s, when there weren't paranormal groups on every corner like there are today. And,
right.
I mean, there was, you know, you didn't have anybody to call. So,
yeah, I remember you told us about that before, but for the people that haven't heard your story, do you want to go into that a little?
Sure. In the late 80s, in a little town in California, my parents had bought this property. They were going to subdivide it, and eventually we did. They had built their house on it, and there was a mobile home on it already. And when we first moved there, was that you, Dan?
No, that was somebody else. It was a paranormal
Greg, probably.
Sorry.
Well, we first moved out there. We lived in the mobile home, and my parents lived in the travel trailer in the back until they could start building their house. And things started happening, I'd have to say, like the very first night that we actually were there. I had gotten up around 1 o'clock in the morning. I was 8.5 months pregnant, and I started to unpack things in the kitchen, and I saw something walk by the window. I thought, well, that's strange. Who'd be walking around this time of night out in the country? Because this was way out in the country. And it was strange because you could see somebody walking, but the face, it was like it was blurred out. And the very next morning, I asked my mom, were you and Dad out walking around last night? She was like, well, no, why would we be? We were in bed by 9. And I thought, well, that's a little strange. And then there were just incidences that just kept leading up and more. And then when my mom got cancer, it escalated. And after she passed away, it got even worse. It just, it got really bad.
Mm-hmm.
It affected the kids. My son, probably a little bit more than my daughter, he used to complain of bad angels talking to him. He used to describe, he'd say frogs were jumping on his tummy. And they used to talk about red eyes staring at him through the window. My daughter would talk about talking to an imaginary friend named Billy that would be in her room. And I can remember one night, and this was after my mom had passed away, and my dad had finally built his house. I had her in a cot in the bedroom. She didn't want to sleep in her own room. And I was in the bed with Alex, and she sat up out of a dead sleep, and she said, "Satan." And she had opened her eyes, closed them, laid right back down. Now, that just freaked me out.
Yeah.
And my son would do similar things. He would wake up in the middle of the night and say just horrible, blasphemous things and not even know he was saying it. You'd almost have to jar him out of it. And, I mean, the things that led up to this were very subtle. Silverware would fall out of the drainer into the sink. Light bulbs were always burning out. Electrical appliances were constantly burning out. My husband and I, we're almost going on 25 years now, we were fighting like you would not believe. I mean, it was like this thing could crawl into your head and put anger in you. It just, I mean, it was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
He could even tell you more about what was going on. He's on the line.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, everything was, like she said, it was very subtle at first, and then, oh, my goodness. Well, you would hear people talking in the house, even though nobody was in the house. And our house has been broken into a few times because our neighbor would break into our home. And later on, we found out it was him. But anyway, I would hear people in there. You could hear little voices, like conversations going on, and I'd walk in the house, and nobody would be there. So I'd come back out, and I'd be in the backyard doing things, and I could hear it. So I'd run back inside, and there'd be no one there. And this kept going on and on. And then one time, I remember, I heard somebody actually say, "He's coming." So I ran inside the house, and then our sliding glass door was open when I ran back inside the house. I know it was closed prior to it. And I don't know. It was just a lot of little things like this. And like Janet mentioned about it escalating, I would hear her dad talk. Yeah, when they had a little house behind us when they first moved out there. We lived in a mobile home. And then later on, he built an actual home. And when they built the actual home, me and Janet were going through our own difficulties, and she moved in with her dad, and I stayed in the mobile home. And I could hear him outside talking. At least I thought I could. I could hear him out there talking to his girlfriend, Nancy. And it was his voice, very distinctively, you know, blah, 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 Dan, blah, 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 blah. And I would go out, and I'd look through a window to see them, and I could never see them. And this happened again and again, and then one time I had a friend over there, and I could hear him out there talking. And I was standing there, and I whispered to him, "Do you hear him out there?" He's like, "Yeah." "Do you hear John?" He's like, "Yeah." So I opened up the curtains, and nobody was there again. And even he was going like, "Wow, where the hell did he go?" I go, "I don't know." I go, this happens all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, things like that would constantly happen. I can remember, and it wasn't just us. It was the next-door neighbors, too. I can remember one time, it was around Christmas time. This was right after my mom had passed away. And the lady next door, she had taken their two kids and my two kids to the movies. Then I set up the Christmas tree and stuff when they were gone. And when they got back, we were going to visit. We told the kids, "Well, you know, why don't you go play?" And they decided to go outside and play for a little bit. But when we were in the kitchen, in the dining area, I could hear them in the bedroom. And they were getting kind of loud, so we went back there and said, "Hey, you guys want to maybe tone it down?" There were no kids in there. And then they came running back into the house, and they're going, "Why were you talking to us out there? Why were you yelling for us to come back up here?" And we're like, "What? We thought you were in the back room." It would imitate people's voices. When my mom was, it was probably about 8 months before she passed away. She came over to my house one morning, and she was just white as a ghost. And she goes, "Wait till the kids get on the bus." She goes, "I want to tell you something." After the kids left, she told me that she had been asleep that night, and something woke her up. And she said there was this horribly black winged creature that was basically on top of her, squeezing the life out of her. She said she could actually see herself rising above the bed. She could actually look down upon herself and see this thing on her. And she said she squeezed out the words, "In the name of Jesus, be gone, Satan." She said she actually fell back into her body, and then a pair of red dots flew out the window. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what to make of that. I thought, wow, that's, you know, even with everything that was going on, I thought, well, that's quite a story. I don't know what to think.
Right, and I mentioned, my question is, because I have spirits in my house, but nothing like what you're talking about. So, and I know I've been paranormally, you know, I've always read things ever since I was a kid, and I knew basically what might be happening and things like that. But still, for a while you think you're crazy. And there's a certain point where you're like, you know what, this isn't my imagination. So
that's
how
right.
much of that did it take you guys to finally get together and say, you know what, there really is something going on here?
It took me probably about a good year and a half, 2 years before I really came to grips with it. Even then, I would try and rationalize it.
I would sit up and when in the dark, I'd turn all the lights off, and then I would kind of like hide myself in a part of the house to try and catch it. I know that sounds a little insane as well. I don't know, because Janet came over and she knocked on the door and she couldn't see me, and I was thinking to myself, like, go away. I'm really close to catching it. And, you know, I was like, I want to catch it. And I even, you know, I would see, we got so familiar with it. Another instance, I was sitting on my couch and you could see the silhouette of a light of like a door, and it was against the wall. And it was like one room into another. It's seen the side of the house. With the light going on like this, and you could see the door jamb, you could see the silhouette of a human being lean in. And I remember looking over, I'm like, oh, man, I am not in the mood for this. And it leaned away, and I went back to doing what I was doing.
It got to that point. There were a lot of real shocking ones. Like, I had this cabinet in the house where I'd keep the kids' coloring books, you know, paints, things like that.
This is when we all lived together in the mobile home.
And I'm a neat freak. I was always cleaning that thing out and straightening it out. And one day, you know, the kids put their coloring stuff, so I got underneath there, and they pulled out this one coloring book I had never seen before. It was one of those Precious Moment coloring books.
Mm-hmm.
And she hands it to me, and she says, find something to color. I thought, okay. And the first page, you know, she has a little girl and her lammy and all that good stuff, and then I flip the page. And I'm not kidding. It's a drawing of my mobile home. There's a ghost coming out of the top and says, "This is the ghost that haunts your house." I about dropped the book. So I keep flipping, and there would be more normal pages, and then there was another page. It just showed this horrible-looking, I don't know what you call it, monster, demon, whatever you want to call it. Then on the very back page, somebody had written, "To Mommy's Babies," and then there were two names, and then the last one was named Billy. And then there was a question mark after that. I'm like, oh, my God, that's the little boy my daughter claims to talk to. I was so freaked out. I packed the kids up in the car. I drove down to the little dentist office where my mom was working at the time. I show her this book. I'm like, what do you make of it? I mean, she's just holding this thing, looking at it like, I don't know. I go, did you buy this for them? She's like, no. And she notices on the back cover, it came from a store that hadn't even been in service in our area for over 10 years. It was really odd. I mean, now, how do you, rationalize something like that?
Yeah, also, it's almost like we're going to give you something that you can't rationalize.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. And, I mean, I can't even believe I returned after that. You know, I still think about that.
Well, it's just human nature, I think, you know?
Yeah. And then I can remember when, probably about a month after Alex was born, we were in the front room watching TV, and I just had this overwhelming urge to go check on him. And I go in there, and he's in his little bassinet, and he's just laying there, eyes wide open, but not moving, not making a sound. He looked lifeless. I picked him up, tried to move him. There was, no sign of life in him, and I'm just panicking at this point. And I told Dan, we've got to get him to the hospital. I called my mom to come up and watch Sandy, and she gets there in, just a matter of a minute or two. And she looks at him, she says, oh, my God, she looks like he's in a coma. We get him in the van, we start driving him to the hospital, and the farther we drive, the more he starts to come out of it. Now, when we get him to the ER, the doctor says, well, he just woke up, and he was just having a long time waking up. And they laughed it off. But that's not, I know for a fact that's not what happened. I mean, there was no life to this boy. I don't know if something was trying to overtake him, or I tried everything to jar him out of this. And it wasn't until we left the property that he finally did. One time when I was living with my father after Dan and I, I moved in with my dad after my mom passed away because he couldn't function on his own for a while. But so a long story, but this thing actually made contact with me over the phone. Dan had taken the kids into the nearest town, about 17 miles away. My father was at work, and I was cleaning the house, and I had just had enough of everything. And I got real full of myself, and I yelled out loud and tried to confront this thing and told it, "You're not going to destroy my family. You're not going to destroy me. You're not the only one that can do things, and this is just how it's going to be, and you're just going to go away, and that's pretty much the end of it." And I felt real, real good after I did this, of course. And I had called my father earlier that day and told him to call me back, and no sooner was I done confronting this thing, the phone rings, picked it up, it's my dad. And this thing, we probably hadn't said three words to each other, and all of a sudden you hear this god-awful static, and then this horrible, horrible voice is on the line, and it asks me if I'm enjoying it, and I can't repeat the word that it said. Then it said a whole bunch of blaspheming things, and then it started describing exactly what I was doing. And I'm like, oh, my God. You know, I'm looking around. There's nobody else in this house but me. My dad's like, who's there? And I'm like, nobody, Dad. I'm alone. He's like, well, where's Dan? I go, he's in, you know, Modesto with the kids. I you know, and he goes, well, then maybe you need to get out of the house. He didn't even need to tell me that. By that time, I'm looking down the hallway, and I could feel this force coming at me. And, I mean, it wanted me dead, but I'm looking down the hallway, and it's just like a black mist. And you could just feel it coming straight for me. You've never seen anybody get out of a house so fast. And it was in the middle of the summer. It was like, I think it was like 111 or 112 outside that day. And I'm standing outside on the concrete in my bare feet. And I stayed out there for an hour until Dan came back. Every time I would try to re-enter the house, it would do a series of like three knocks on the wall or on the back doors I was trying to get in. My dog was in there barking like crazy. I thought, God, I got to get the dog out. I re-entered for a moment, started yelling for her to come out. She was just barking like crazy. And then she starts throwing up, and then everything just goes silent. And then all of a sudden, I heard what was like papers crumbling. And then I realized what it sounded like was fire. And I'm like, oh, my God, I'm losing my mind. And I just ran right back out until Dan got home. I mean, these are awful things.
yeah, for sure. How'd you guys finally resolve it?
Well, we packed everything we could in the car.
We had to lie about it when we left. We planned on leaving beforehand. You know, we would go, okay, look, man, we're going to either work this out as a family or not work it out and whatnot, or go our separate ways, or we're going to figure something out here. And we say, okay, look, we'll stick this thing out, but we need to get out of here. We knew we needed to leave. The situation just wasn't going to work. Our car battery, my car battery would go dead, or her car battery would go dead. Something would always go wrong to where we couldn't. Something would occur to where we, what money we had saved up, we wouldn't have anymore. We had to spend it on something. It was just always something. And one time we decided, okay, we're not going to talk about it anymore. We're just going to do it. And that's what Janet did one day. She just came over to the trailer. She's like, look, if we're still going to go, we got to do it now.
Yeah.
And that's what we did for like 3 hours.
Yeah, you'd have to, I guess.
Little compact car and took $500 and drove.
Yeah. Well, what happened with your father and his house?
He stayed there for a little while, and he finally moved to Arizona. He sold the entire property. He moved to Arizona, and he passed away in 2006. He had a hard time acknowledging the things that were going on there. I mean, he knew it. He had heard it from my mom. He had heard it from us. I know he had seen things himself and heard things. Like after that phone incident, I'm not trying to make light of it, but he brought home his cell phone that night, the phone he'd call me on. And he's tearing this thing apart, trying to figure out what had happened. I'm thinking, like, God, Dad, you know, that's not going to do you any good. But
there's some little guy in there.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I was an adopted child. They couldn't have children of their own. So he was quite a bit older, and he had a lot of hard time, you know, grasping a lot of this.
They do. Those older people have a hard time understanding that could even
exist, really.
Yeah.
I mean, even when my mom would talk about the things, because she was always talking about she sees red eyes. And it was really weird because you would see these things sometimes flying around the property, going down the street, these strange little red dots.
Red orbs.
Red orbs. It was just, I can remember a couple of times when Dan and I were standing outside at night. Now, I've heard stories like this before. I'm not sure how it happens, but lights would shine on you. And I hear that's not a real good thing.
You mean like, right, I mean on your body like? They would shine on you?
Yeah.
No, I've never heard that.
I heard that once on the Art Bell show. that this man was talking about that. And it's a real demonic thing. And he's saying, when that happens, boy, it's just not a good thing.
Oh, that's nice.
I was thinking to myself, like, oh, my God, I can remember that happening to us.
Yeah,
wow.
I guess I would have left. So now you guys, that was in California, and then you guys live in Nevada now, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, we do. And it wasn't just the haunting. It was kind of strange because it was like a lot of UFO activity was going on at the same time that the paranormal activity was. Now, I know in some cases these things go hand in hand, but see, we also lived a mile and a half away from a naval base.
That was bought by NASA.
Yeah, that was actually bought by NASA and patrolled by our own police department.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, we saw things that you just wouldn't believe.
Well, I saw a documentary on Roswell. It's been a while, but one of them was a person that used to work there. Of course, they were all, you couldn't see who they were or anything, because they're still afraid. They don't work there anymore, but they're afraid. And they were, like, trying to, you know, follow, this guy was telling them things, and they were trying to check it out. And they actually went to, I don't know even where the airport was, but there's an unmarked jet, and all the people that worked at Area 51, they would all come in and park the cars in the morning, get on this jet, which is unmarked. There's no identification number or anything on it. And it would fly them to the base there on Area 51, and they do their job, and that's how they would come home. And they did this, like, you know, Monday through Friday, whatever the hours were.
Wow.
I thought that was pretty... They had it on tape. It was pretty intriguing.
That is really intriguing.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Because one night, I was in the bedroom, and I'm looking down the hallway, and I can see, like, this orange glow, and I'm like, well, what the hell? And I'm looking, and I go out into the kitchen where it's stronger, and I can see these two triangular orange lights, bright as you could be. It looks like it's hovering right in the backyard. I'm like, what in the heck is that? So I run outside, and I yell for Dan. I go, you need to come see this. You're never going to see anything like this again. And this thing, like, rises up and then just floats above us. I mean, silent.
150 feet, at least, that?
This huge triangular thing with these lights. Not making a noise. Not one sound.
I heard like a humming, but that was, I mean, the size of this was like a house. It was just huge.
That's why I was wondering how big it was, you know.
It was. Yeah. It was like a house. I mean, it was just huge, and you could see up inside of it and see lights inside of it, and it hummed. And I got in my car and chased it as far as I could because we're out in the country, so after a while, I ran out of road. And I just watched it continue on, and I'm like, wow, I was just amazed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people say that they don't make any noise, and they're awfully fast.
Yeah,
did it run from you, or was
what?
It like,
what was that, Mike?
Did the object like run from you, or was it allowing?
No,
you to follow
it? It was just on its own trajectory.
Hmm.
Yeah, it wasn't even traveling fast. I was probably going maybe about 45 miles per hour.
Yeah, because if he wanted to get out there fast, he just would have pretty much just disappeared.
Would have been gone
as fast as I go.
Yeah. I mean, it was just going, you know, on its own trajectory, and I was just taking the rows, trying to keep up with it and keep an eye on it, and keeping up with it wasn't a problem, you know. Just I couldn't drive across open fields, because that's all it was a bunch of agricultural fields out there.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah, there would be some nights where it would go on for, what, 4 or 5 nights in a row. There would be a light show.
Yeah, that's what we were trying to talk about with her dad. And we walked into his bedroom, because he had this big bay window, and we're like, John, you need to get up and get this. No, I'm perfectly fine. I'm fine.
Yeah, he wouldn't even lift up his head to see it. I'm like, Dad, it's right there in the back. You've got to get up and see this.
Nope,
I'm fine. Like, okay, and I got my coat on and went out.
Exist, and that's all there is to it.
Yeah. Well, tell
them
how important the sheriff came out, Dan.
Oh, well, there was when the UFO activity started, when the, there's like a big 10-acre field behind us, and you could see this one white light flashing and moving about, but not up and down and not very fast. It would just move up and then it'd pulsate. And then moved back down. Janet first noted it to me, so we went and called, and they said, well, you are in Patterson, and some of you guys have been known for UFO activity. So they sent a sheriff out, and we're looking at it, and I'm saying, well, here it is. He's like, well, it's probably a tree blowing in front of it. And I go, officer, I go, there's no wind blowing. And he stops, he's listening, as there is. There's no breeze, there's no sound. And so he gets in his car, and he tries to drive over by it. And when he does so, the light actually moves and goes above his car and then sits there for a while and pulsates. And then he continues, and then he turns around, and he comes back, and he's been gone from like maybe 10 minutes. And now the light had moved from where it was in this one fixated place to another one. And he's like, well, and the man just starts sweating bullets.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, and I notice that, like, wow, he's really scared, and he's not going to do me any good. I go, you know what, I'm just going to go back in my house, and we're going to call this a night. He's like, you know, that's probably the best thing for you to do. So I saw him get in his car, and he drove in the opposite direction.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember Dan going out and trying to find these lights sometimes, and my daughter and I were standing out there, and the one that really scared me a lot, I could see him going down one street, and it was like all these red lights were like all over the car, and I'm like, what is that? At that point, his car disappeared. I'm like, where'd it go? You know, like I said, it was just nothing but agriculture out there.
Mm-hmm.
And then no sooner did it disappear, it reappears in the same spot, but he's going the opposite direction, still with these lights, these red lights, all conglomerated all over the car, which I still don't understand to this day. I don't know what that was.
I don't either. That's a wild one.
And the thing that scared me most about that is one time he was out there chasing him, I didn't know where he'd gone. I couldn't see the car anymore, and I started panicking. This is like 2 in the morning, and I'm like, my God, would you just please bring him back? Just bring him back. And there are all these funny lights out in the field, and this one light, one round, white, bright, bright light, and I'm standing out on my dad's back porch, and all that's separating me between that and the next house is an alfalfa field, and there's a fence next to it. This white light, single white light, comes out. And I kid you not, it's like it goes over the fence, comes halfway across the field. It's right directly in front of me. We're exactly geometrically in the same place. And it was almost like it was reading me as I'm standing there crying, saying, where's my husband? I want my husband. I want him safe. I want him back. And this thing was just hovering there. And it was probably there for about a good 2 minutes. And then it just kind of went up and out. And Dan came back probably about a good 3.5 minutes later. Now, that's strange.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I know that's hard to believe, but that really happened.
No, I believe you.
I when I think back about these things, I'm still a little freaked out that we actually went through all of this. But we did.
Yeah, you would look back and say, was that what is that? Is this the way I remember? Is that really how it was? And you still can't get through your head. You know, that really, really happened.
Oh, no, that's exactly what I said once. I was driving off on one of the roads chasing these things, and I got out of the car, and I flashed a light towards what is known as the California Aqueduct. And all these amber lights popped on, about 6 of them. And I did that. I was like, am I really seeing this? I mean, I'm thinking, me and my friends are doing this. Like, wait a minute, my friends are more intelligent enough to pull this off. No one even have the drive, let alone the ambition.
I totally believe you.
Now, one question I have to go along with that, had you guys noticed any paranormal activity while the sightings were going on?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
It was stronger.
Mm-hmm.
This one, Janet, like I said, was moved into her dad's house, and I was in the mobile home, and there's the back door in the kitchen, and it went into this little, we call it back porch, but it was an enclosed back porch. And my neighbor had broken into her home a couple of times, so I set little booby traps up and things like this. One time I put flour all over the floor just to see if I could see his shoes, because he made his mother buy him like these $100 Nike shoes. This is back when people started paying a bunch for Nike shoes, and he always talked and bragged about it. I mean, I got my shoes at Kmart, and he'd buy his place somewhere else. And
Walmart, believe me.
Must have been all the proceeds from all the thieving he had been doing. I don't know. But anyway, I put all this flour down there to catch him. And one day I'm in my kitchen, and I can see the back door panel turn. And I'm looking at it, and I'm like, oh, I got you. And I'm watching, and it's shaking and rattling. And I grab it and open it up, and nobody is in there. And there are no footprints on this flower.
Wow.
And I'm like, oh. I was really hoping to be the neighbor. I really wanted to just beat the crap out of him for being in my home.
Count your aggression.
Yeah.
That's
and it actually happened more than once, that the door rattling. I would watch that door, and it would shake violently, like someone's trying to get in. And as soon as I opened the door, there'd be no one there. And there was I had a Ouija board at the house.
Uh-huh.
And before we left, something told me, get rid of the damn thing. So we had a burn barrel, and I threw it in there, and it didn't burn.
Oh,
and
wow.
So I poured gasoline on it. I swear, it did not burn. I poured gasoline on it, threw the match, and I watched it catch on fire. I'm like, good, burn. Walked away, was doing my own things. Came back, all the edges were burned. But the board itself, you could still read it. It wasn't burnt.
Okay.
I took it out of the burn barrel, and I broke it into, like, I don't know, 4 or 5 different pieces, put it back in there, poured more gasoline on it, and then it finally caught on fire and burned.
Wow.
Yeah, that actually tripped me out when I poured gasoline on it, and it didn't
still
burn it.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I do have a question out of the chat room, and this is from Scott Greenwald. He wanted to know if, Janet, do you and Dan think maybe that you might be magnets towards the paranormal?
Good question.
I don't know if we're magnets towards it.
I'm more sensitive and aware of it.
Yeah. Do you think that because you have went through all that and you are aware of those type of things, that is in a way kind of like a magnet attraction to ones that want to communicate to you?
I don't know. It could be. You know, I work for the cable company, so I'm in a lot of different people's homes.
Mm-hmm.
And here in Elko, it's a really old town, and sometimes I'm in certain places, I can feel certain things. And I
mm-hmm.
ask the customers, you know, I talk to them about mm-hmm. it and vaguely. And sometimes they'll reveal things as well, or sometimes they'll just say nothing, even though I know that there's something else.
Right. Because there's got to be a reason that certain people attract this kind of activity. And there are people that do all the time.
Well, yeah, I believe that. And I also think that, this is going to sound crazy, but I think sometimes we go through what we're supposed to go through for a certain reason.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that makes sense to you or not.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, mm-hmm. there's a reason behind everything that happens, and
yeah,
and when you ask if we're magnets, yeah, we could be. I wrote a little something about that on our my webpage on MySpace. I gave like a big synopsis of the entire story, and like I explained in it, and I don't tell too many people this because I don't like the reaction from people, but I've always been able to see colors around people my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
Now, does that make me any more sensitive to things like this happening? I don't know. But I've always been able to do that. And I've always been able to read what people are feeling and things like that. So
it's like an awareness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was happening to the next door neighbors, too. And we also, there was a couple that went to the paper. It was another family that had gone to the same, was going through the same things we were, only they had their story published. And when I read read it in the paper, I called the newspaper, and at 200 and some odd calls, I was the only call that they put through to the couple, and we met with them, I think it was like a week later, and we were all going through the same thing.
Wow.
So I don't know, you know, what now she was kind of like me. You know, she's very sensitive to these things, but the people next door to us, they weren't.
Mm-hmm.
So why this happened to all of us, I really couldn't tell you.
Well, it's kind of like you said, there is a reason for everything. I don't really believe in coincidence. I think everything does happen for a reason. And
I do, too.
I think sometimes we just aren't advanced enough to realize why they're happening at the time, maybe, or maybe we'll never know why they happen.
Exactly.
Well, I maybe it's a stupid question, but it's just... Since it happened to such like in the community you were in, and there was a lot of UFO activity, do you think that possibly the two correlate together? That maybe some of the things that happened to you were of an alien nature, more than a paranormal nature?
I don't know. We were, and that would take us to do a further investigation of it at the time. But upon looking back upon it, it's come up as a theory. Yeah.
Yeah, it seemed to be all tied in together, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean,
activity
grew. I mean, activity was, you know, manifested itself more when, you know, while the UFO activity was going on. And it's, you know, is it a coincidence, or is it, you know, were they testing people? Were they conducting their own experiments? You know, I mean,
Yeah, we've offered more of that too, because there was actually periods of time that we don't remember things, and we also
mm-hmm.
discussed it during where everything was occurring. It's like, you know, what happened this last couple of days? What happened here? What did we do there? And it's like, I really don't remember. It's almost like
mm-hmm.
the day didn't exist. And
yeah, towards the end, though, you always felt out of place, out of time, like everything was kind of unbalanced.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to describe.
Yeah.
It was just. You're almost like in a daze. It was almost hard to function. You just...
I think there was, you know, there was a lot of paranormal activity, even though if it might have been, I don't know, some of it tied in with the UFO activity, but some of it wasn't. One time we heard a baby crying, and we could not find it. And there were no people around us who had an infant.
Hmm. And Dan, one night when he was chasing his lights, heard what did you say it was out in the...
What's that?
When you heard out in the road, you heard something
screaming
at you?
No, I was chasing the lights... And I saw them out in the middle of the field, these two big white orbs, I guess, well, big white lights. And then I would stop and I'd look behind me, and they would be closer together. I'd drive a little bit farther. Then next thing you know, they're in the middle of the road, and I'm stopped in the middle of the road. And I could feel it, like, rushing at me. It's like something was, I don't know, like, you know something's watching you, and it's coming at you, like a dog.
Mm-hmm.
And then as an overwhelming feel came over, I looked in my rearview mirror, and I could see the lights almost on me, and I just hit the gas and started screaming and drove as fast as I could.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one time, my daughter and I were in the car with them, and there was, like, this whole field of them. I mean, I've never, it was like a little tiny mini city of them. I've never seen anything like it. And the closer we got to them, I couldn't breathe, and neither could my daughter. It was really strange. And I told them, you've got to turn around.
Yeah.
I can't breathe. And we turned around. By the time we got to the house, I get out of the car, and it felt like the side of my face was on fire. You know how, like, somebody flashes a light bulb, or they used to, like a flash bulb in your eyes, and your eyes would kind of flicker? That's what my eyes were doing, and my ear was so red and so hot. It was hot to touch.
It was, and then her other ear was frozen cold. It was just really cold, like, because it was cold. It was nighttime.
Huh. Did you guys ever, other than the, we'd say it was an Air Force base, or?
It used to be actually used in World War II for, it was a practice field for airplanes.
Oh,
for
I wonder if there's any other
practice landing and taking off and everything.
And then NASA
okay.
bought it.
And when they
yeah,
did
and any
back,
other
NASA bought it.
Right, and any other history, you know, prior to that, you know,
not that I know of, not that I was aware of.
Mm-hmm. Maybe Native American or something.
The base is always kind of closed off, so no one ever really went there.
But once NASA bought it, I mean, it was patrolled heavily.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's what was the odd thing.
Oh, I'm sure.
You know, and in the paper there was pictures. People did take some photographs. When I was out chasing the lights one time, I also saw, it was like a field of lights, and they were just shining down. There was like maybe 12 or 13 of them, but they really cast no brightness on the ground, if that makes any sense. They were all lights, and they were all lined up. And I remember looking at it, and I first thought, well, maybe it's, you know, one of the agricultural vehicles, but I know the agricultural vehicles. And also, it was inside of a cabbage field, which weren't ready to be harvested. So I'm like, well, I know they're not harvesting.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't more than like a week later, and the Patterson irrigator came out, and there was a photograph in there, and somebody had taken it, and they published it. Now, what they'd always do, they'd always publish it, and then the next one, they came out like twice a week. It was a little small little town. And the next one, they'd always discredit whatever they published before. It's like they were talked to. There'd be pictures of a UFO.
Really?
Then they'd then they'd come back and go, oh, this was
that
really
was a hot
this
air
was agriculture vehicle. This was somebody's Frisbee. Because at one time, I remember they showed, here's a cow out in the canyon, like Del Porto Canyon, who was spooked by this flying object. And they showed the flying object. Then later on, it's like, oh, it was just a hoax. Someone just sent us in, and it was a Frisbee or a hubcap. And they'd done this time and time again.
Wow.
That was actually funny.
Huh.
So have you heard of the new owners of the property? Are they going through anything? Or I'm sure you haven't been back, but have you heard of anything?
We went there once on her dad's funeral, but I don't know, something told us not to go to the property.
I was afraid to. I was afraid if we did.
Yeah, I don't think I would have.
That we would not be able to leave. I don't know why, but
some would follow us or something.
Yeah, I stayed clear of that. I stayed in the nearby town until I had to drive into the town for his funeral. And I don't even know why they held his funeral there, because he'd moved to Arizona. But
And he wasn't even buried in Patterson. So.
No. So I'm not even sure why.
And we did it just to spook Janet and Dan.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah.
Let's see what he said.
Yes.
So what have you guys done with your... so what have you guys done with your paranormal group here lately?
Pardon
me? Have you been up to anything? What have you guys done with the paranormal group here lately?
Oh, not much lately, but I'm trying to get some things lined up. There's all kinds of ghost towns and little things all around here, and I really want to start investigating all that. I love some of the history they have here in Nevada, and I want to explore it and see what's going on, and yeah, that's what I'm going to try to get going this year.
And we talked to some people we know about. There's a haunting of a hotel here in town we're going to check out, and when Janet and... And I used to do janitorial work. There's a place here in town where something came up and touched her.
And the other gal, too.
And then there was, like, about a month later, and she was the only one she talked to about it. And then it was, maybe 6-7 months later, we had a new girl working for us, and she went inside the exact same part of the building, and she came out, and she was like, no, she was, someone touched me, and I looked around, and there was nobody there.
She went flying out the front door screaming.
Yeah, she was upset.
Yeah, so that was enough of that.
But I've spoken to the person now. It's run by the United Way, and I know the person who runs the United Way there, and I asked her, you know, off the cuff, you know, blah, 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 blah. And she's like, no one's ever said anything like it. I'm like, oh, okay. Oh, mm-hmm. Maybe he thinks all of you are ugly.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
So what part of Nevada are you located in?
We're in Elko.
Northeastern Nevada?
Yeah. We're like 2.5 hours from Twin Falls.
Four hours from Salt Lake.
About 3.5 hours from Salt Lake. 4 hours from Reno. 2 hours from Ely.
Mm-hmm.
We're kind of like up there in the upper right-hand corner.
Oh, okay, because I'm actually going to be in Las Vegas in April. And I thought it would be cool to...
We're 7.5 hours from Las Vegas.
But we go there a few times a year.
Yeah.
But yeah, we've got a lot of history here in Nevada and a lot of little ghost towns. And unfortunately,
yeah, I know.
There's a little ghost town that we went to in last June when we went to Lake Tahoe. And, what was the name of that place? Virginia City.
Virginia City.
And there's a haunted hotel there. Ghost hunters beat me to it. They, I guess, stayed there and did a thing on it. But I wanted to stay there and check it out. And there's a Bucket of Blood Saloon that's supposed to be haunted. We visited that. And, yeah, it was a neat little town. But we've got all kinds of those here. So I really want to start visiting those, finding out more history.
No, we need to get some more equipment and things like
that.
Yeah.
Very
I want to get more stuff going with all that. But I really want to just explore all the history that's gone on around here. We've had all kinds of... Even our local courthouse down here, they had an apartment building up, and where the apartment building was, it used to be the gallows where they'd just take people out and hang them. And now they've got a parking... They've built a parking garage there. But I've heard several strange incidences about that area, too. And I've always wanted to go down there and check that out.
And even if you think you need more equipment and stuff, but still, if you just go in there, if you're that because you apparently are sensitive somewhere on there, you're sensitive. You're picking up stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Just go in there and just sit there and listen and take some pictures. You never know.
Turn on the tape recorder, see if I can pick anything up. And yep, exactly.
I don't know. I've been there ever since after they destroyed it, because when the apartment building was there, I would do work in that area. And I would always feel something from the place she's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But now that they've torn it down, I've been inside the new building because I had to run new cable inside there. And I don't know, maybe it's just been disrupted, so it wasn't the same.
Yeah, or maybe it was just attached to that building and not attached to the land or something.
It could be. Or maybe it's just waiting for us a new time. I don't know how it works.
Well, you never know.
Maybe you just moved into the motel next door. I'm not
sure. Maybe.
Yeah.
They're all the tourists.
Yeah.
Now, what was the hotel, the Virginian, that had the room upstairs where the call girl had killed herself? Was that one of the hotels that you
guys... That's the Gulf. Oh, no, never mind.
Oh, you mean in Virginia City?
Yeah.
No, actually, this was a... It's a single-story, actually very small hotel, and it was the, I think it was number 3 or 4 that they claimed that somebody goes in there and turns the TV on and off and walks around the room, and they can see them in the mirror, and yeah, I guess ghost hunters had actually done a special from there and had stayed there overnight. I don't think they found anything, though, but there's been a few people that have stayed there that I've read about and read letters from people that said that these things have really occurred. It's very frightening to them, but it doesn't seem to be a real bad spirit. I mean, it's never hurt anybody or done anything to, I don't think, purposely frighten anybody, but
right.
I want to go stay there myself and do it anyway.
Yeah.
That's one of my goals this year. Like I said, we spent the entire day there in Virginia City, and that is just awesome. There was a... place an old casino there. They call it the suicide table. Where how many people? 4 or 5 people had committed suicide at the table.
Yeah, they lost all their fortunes and everything.
Had shot themselves or had.
Back in the day, like $50,000, $60,000, and Even the 1901s and 18s up in the island. Hey, I would kill myself for that much money today. Like, imagine what I'd be like back then.
I guess.
I'm taking a few people with me and myself.
Yeah.
This is moving in a card game, yeah. Yeah, they actually call it the suicide table. There's been, like, you know, I don't know how many suicide deaths there at that table. So they dismantled the table and kept the top of it, and you can actually look at it on display. And then we went to the Bucket of Blood Saloon, which was a real awesome,
I've heard
awesome
of that place.
Yeah,
good beer too.
Yeah, like a beer.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
And
that's
all the better sometimes. Bottles home with us.
So
yeah, like I said, Nevada's kind of a fun place for a lot of that. We've got a lot of history here.
Well, you guys have to do a couple places, come back and let it snow, because we're getting here past 11, and it's been great having you back on. And I don't think we had
anytime.
You on last time, Dan, did we?
No, Dan wasn't with us. Well, admit that. I'll get it out in a second. Hold on.
Well, we'll
yeah, Dan wasn't with us last time.
No, he was at a company party that night. I had
That's
to do
right.
it by myself.
That's right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
he
yeah.
thought it was more important to go drink and bowl with his cable buddies than be on the radio with me.
Well, you know, man. Well, we'll definitely have to. We'll keep in touch and definitely, you guys. Yeah, get some of those historic places done. I like to hear that stuff, too. And
yeah.
So interesting. Definitely.
Absolutely.
Yeah, without a doubt. And you know, like Joni said, keep in touch. And, you know, you guys do an investigation. You want to come on and talk about it. Hit us up, let us know. We'll get you back on the air, and we'll get it. We'll get talking about it.
Okay, great.
All right.
Take care.
All right.
Great deal. Well, thank you very much, guys, for coming on with Midwest Paratalk Radio tonight.
Oh, thanks
for having
us
back.
No,
guys,
no.
Okay. Night.
Yeah, we'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Good night.
Bye. Bye now. That's right. That was Janet and Dan from Nevada Apparition.
Apparitions, paranormal.
Paranormal, yeah, okay. Thanks, Joni.
That's about 3 hours of sleep there.
Oh, man, I tell you what.
Yeah, I know.
But, you know, and it was great having her back on. Like I said, mm-hmm. You and I were talking about it. The first time she was on, we had a great time with her, and she's good people. And,
absolutely.
You know, and
I can't believe the stuff they went through.
I know, right?
I know, she is, and like I say, most people would not tell you that.
No, not at all.
You know, that tells how far along she's, I mean, because you just wouldn't, how long far they've come along and how much they believe it, because,
mm-hmm.
and I do believe what she said, because seeing some weird stuff myself.
You know, and I'm really surprised that there's not been, like, the Discovery Channel's not talked to them about a haunting.
Well, maybe they're not ready for that, or they don't want to.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, maybe you're right. You know, but I mean, that's definitely something that that is kind of their MO on a
mm-hmm.
on a haunting.
So. Yeah, it is.
And I enjoy the hauntings myself. So, you know, it'd be cool. And
I haven't seen any new ones lately. So
yeah,
looks like they're all reruns.
Yeah, yeah, they actually out in the movie shops and whatnot. You can buy like season 1, season 2, season 3, and 4, and you know, so on and so forth. If I go any higher, then I'm going to have to take off my shoes and count. But
so you, I also suppose you caught GHI last night.
I did not.
Oh, okay.
Did not.
It was their season opening. It was pretty good. I like them.
Yeah,
they were doing hotel down in Argentina where they think maybe Hitler, because I don't know if they ever actually proved that Hitler died, but I know a lot of the Nazis ended up in that area in Argentina.
Mm-hmm.
And it was real good. They're good. I'm telling you, they're good, and they do a good investigation.
I actually like them better than I like the...
Yeah.
I do, too, because they're just... I don't know what it is. They just work well together or something.
Yeah, there's an attitude or some kind of bad juju going on with GH right now. I'm not quite sure what it is. It's just, I don't know, something's not right.
I think they just might be getting tired of it.
Yeah, it's possible. You're tired of the, you know, going to the big joints. I honestly, truly believe that I think they're ready to go back to doing residentials and actually doing something where they don't have, you know, 50,000 cameras in their faces and, you know, everything.
That'd be awful.
Yeah, everything they do is scrutinized. You know?
But anyway, they caught and looked like an apparition sitting on a bed.
Really?
That is probably the best photo. You know, assuming that they checked it all out, which I feel they probably did, mm-hmm. that I've ever seen on a television show.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, I'll have to check it out on Hulu.
Yeah, get the Hulu.
You know it.
You and the Hulu.
I tell you what, if you
I can't say anything. I got addicted to that Netflix because I got so many documentaries.
Oh yeah, I know, right? They really mm-hmm. do. So, all right, you guys, what do we got coming up next week?
I think it's Jeff, isn't it? What is next week? Is that the 18th?
No, that's not
the 18th, is it?
The 14th. That is going to be Deb Cobble.
Yeah, it's Deb. Yeah, I don't even know what day it is, because I have no reason to keep track of the dates, because Kevin's here.
Right.
Next week is the
14th. I don't even know what the date is.
But yeah, Deb's going to be coming on. We're going to be talking UFOs. And
yeah, Mike, I'll shoot you some information on her. She's MUFON.
Yes.
And M. Ripa, isn't she?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, she's a good lady. Mm-hmm. I've investigated with her a couple times and have gone to a couple events with her. And, you know, she's good people. And she has an outstanding story. All right. I mean, it's kind of it's more hands on than what we got with Supernatural Rising tonight with Audrey, which I would love to have on the show as well. But Deb's story is just like wow. You know, she has really got a story to tell. So it's going to be an interesting show next week, and we get her on. And
yeah, then the week after, I think it's Jeff Walmsley.
Checking the calendar, and you are right.
Ta-da! Yeah. And then it's guess who?
Who?
Could it be Marcus Peter?
Yeah, thank you, Michael.
Who?
Marcus Peter.
Who?
The Marcus.
You said who?
I'm sorry, you didn't put the in front of his name. I get
the,
confused.
I'm sorry. Yeah, that is my error. I will not let it happen again, my liege.
We are your minions.
No, the minions.
The Highlander. So, Mike, you're going to have a good time talking to Marcus later. He will hypnotize and blow your mind.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you now, Mike, take notes, because you're going to want to ask questions. And when you get a chance to, then you're going to forget, because he's told you so much more since you saw the question.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
so I have to take notes when he's on, so I have to write stuff down.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, he'll start off, you know.
Because everything just flows one thing right into another. It's just like a river. It just flows right into the other. It's just amazing.
One question hits up another question and on forward mm-hmm. and so forth and so on. And he is a mm-hmm. great, great interview. You're going to enjoy that one immensely.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay.
I am excited about that.
So mm-hmm. Next week, are we talking Wolf Manor?
Yeah, I will.
Or Haunted History?
I will.
Sweet.
Because I just saw that somewhere the other day. That's weird you brought that up.
Wolf Manor is going...
I don't know where I saw it at.
Wolf Manor is going to be on Ghost Adventures tomorrow night.
Maybe that's where I... Okay, I must have been on Ghost Adventures, and when they do their... Okay, so I'm going, where's that at? Because that's one actually I never heard of.
Yeah.
Oh, that's that hospital out in California, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Over the nursing home?
Exactly.
Okay, I know where that is. Okay, cool.
Yeah, and Scott's, actually, you guys, check it out, Ghost Adventures. I can't believe I'm plugging the Ghost Adventures. But check him out tomorrow night, because Scott Grimwald is going to be on.
Is he?
Yeah, he does the Paranormal Stew, and
he's a parastar.
Yeah, he does the Wolf Manor as well. So,
cool, Scott, great.
Yeah, so Scott will be out on there, and, you know, the Paranormal Stew is tomorrow night. If you guys check it out, I'm sure you Google Paranormal Stew, STU. It's at 11 Eastern time. You guys might want to check it out. It's funnier and I'll get out. I mean,
it really is funny.
So, all right, you guys. That being said, we're about quarter past the hour of 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. This is Midwest Paratalk Radio. I think we're going to call it a night.
A snowy night, yep.
Snowy night.
Starry night. I can sing the whole song if you want to hear it.
That's really quite okay, but maybe next week after the end of Haunted History, you guys might, you know, stay tuned and hear Joni sing Starry, Starry Night. I think everybody just
okay.
Left the chat.
All right.
All right. Well, you guys, great show, and, you know, it was great to have her back on and her husband, too. The UFO stories, man, I love them.
I know. That's your thing.
It is. I mean, I don't know a whole lot about it. But, I mean, they get talking, and it's just like, whoa, no way, you know? Yeah,
well, yeah, they'll tell you stuff that the government sure doesn't tell you.
Yeah,
that's for one thing.
That's definitely true. And
mm-hmm.
So, All right, cool.
Okay.
Well, all right, you guys. We will catch everybody back here next Thursday night at 10 Eastern on the All Souls
Bye.
Paranormal Radio Network for Midwest Paratalk Radio. And goodbye, everybody.
Kevin said hi.
Hi.
Night.
Night.
Bye. And you've been listening to Midwest Paratalk Radio, brought to you by Midwest Paratalk Productions here on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network. And don't forget to check out all the great shows here on the ASPRN network, like Crossroads Paranormal Radio, Ghostly Talk, Etherland Live, IGH Radio, Night Watchers, Parachallenge Radio, Paranormal Encounters Radio, Paranormal Outreach Radio, Residual Hauntings Live, and Tales from Beyond, all on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network.